Koschewski?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Bunkhauser?
Here.
Tarulis?
Here.
Teeling? A quorum is established.
Do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda?
Okay. I would like to remove PW 2016-34 from the consent agenda.
That was 2016.
Yeah, number three.
34.
It's the IGA for Kennedy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody in favor of that? We're good. Okay. Okay, we don't have any presentations tonight or public hearings. Do we have any citizens' comments on agenda items?
Why you voted that way and why you would consider going the home rule route.
take a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
Roll call. Colosimo?
Aye.
Ilchewski?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kot?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, we have 1 minute for approval. Informational bills for payment are $1,446,027.49. On to the mayor's report. We have bond ordinances on tonight, so I'd like to entertain a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the issuance of waterworks and sewage revenue refunding bonds of the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $6,500,000, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Koch?
Aye.
Kot?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Ilchewski?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, our second one, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation refunding bonds, alternate revenue source, series 2016 of the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, in the amount not to exceed $6,500,000 for the purpose of refunding all or a portion of the city's outstanding refunding debt certificates, series 2006A, and general obligation refunding bonds, alternate revenue source, series 2007A, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions on this one? Roll call, please.
Kot?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Ilchewski?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve an ordinance calling a public hearing concerning the intent of the City Council of the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, to sell not to exceed $6,500,000 in general obligation alternate revenue bonds and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. And second. Thank you.
Comments or questions on this one? Okay. Roll call, please.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarullis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Ilchewski?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Kot?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Ordinance approving the Bristol Bay Park purchase and sale agreement and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Move.
Second.
Comments or questions on this? There's some staff updates?
Yes. There is a handout under that. It's real estate purchase and sale agreement. It's a series of 8 changes to the actual purchase agreement that's in the packet. Second is on the following page, the simple insertion of the attorney for Elevation Investments LLC, which is Kelly Helen. So that's just contact information there. The third is the first substantial one. It's on the following page, page 9. So it's the end of the agreement, which is where we get into all legal things that the attorneys like to discuss. It deals with 1031 exchange, which is how the developer is going to actually take title to the property and then use it for tax purposes from the sale of another property. So Kathy hasn't had a chance to review it in depth. She's okay with it in general. She thought the language on its face looked fine, but she did request that we would have a chance to go back and talk to Kelly about that. So if you're willing to approve that subject to legal review, I'm sure she'd appreciate that. The next change, number 4, is going to be on page 2 of the land use agreement, where we actually have 4 other changes. Now this is where you get into the content of the actual use agreement. So all of these things are just kind of the supplemental terms that were put in the proposal that we decided to incorporate as part of the land use agreement. So the first, which is 3B, talks about the construction of a path. So the original language that is struck through is actually verbatim from the developer's proposal. Just in talking about it, we really just want to have a mechanism that says we'll cooperate when both sides construct their own path so that they connect at some point. Not necessarily that one side is going to pay for the construction of the other or actually do it, just that there's some coordination there so that we don't have disconnected paths.
Would that work?
Yep.
Will we have a cross access agreement in order to allow us public use of that? If they, for instance, build a path on what would be the west?
Yeah, I assume that would be part of the site development plan process when they actually apply, that we would make sure that all public ways there have some sort of easement or public access.
Part of this, and you know, see it as you go further and start, the facility has to remain open to the public, all parts of it. So we can, as Bart points out, they can be able to.
Section 3C right there. It's the strike through. There shall be no restrictions upon the Yorkville Parks and Recreation Department's use of this discount. We're fine with that. That language was not the original proposal. That was something Kathy had originally recommended. The attorneys suggested that it might not be appropriate because someone could go in there and book their entire facility for years at a 20% discount on the facility.
Which I thought was a great
idea. Tempted to. Okay, change number 6 is just the simple insertion of the phrase during open gym hours and 4 members only when you're talking about the facility being open to the public. So that it's clear that the public still has the right to access the facility, but the developer still has the right to basically charge a subscription fee for people to go in there and use certain portions of it, which we thought was reasonable. 7 is a deletion and an insertion there. It clarifies that the portion of the parking lot that's adjacent to the building, so their main parking lot, would still be subject to restrictions. So it wouldn't be publicly open all the time, and so they'd be able to reserve space for their patrons. But that the northernmost parking lot, which is shown in the actual exhibit as future parking of about 48 stalls, I believe, would be open to the public. And really, that's the parking lot that we care the most about because it's right next to the baseball and soccer facilities. So again, the actual land use plan that was part of the proposal could be amended in the future date as long as the building is still constructed in substantial conformance with what's been discussed. And so the developer, prior to the meeting, had actually mentioned that the location of that parking lot might go east or it might reorient, so it's an east-west parking lot. So that won't be nailed down, obviously, for many more months until site development actually occurs. And then we felt that the phrase to the northernmost parking lot would be acceptable. So it's drafted in there as north parking lot. Contact information. So again, all those could be incorporated with a motion.
reviewed it. We have absolute consensus. These issues are minuscule, as Bart said. There's two issues. Number one, the land use plan will clarify it further, and whether or not that will require an amendment to the use agreement is as they get moved forward in terms of their actual construction. The idea here was, upon closing, the purchase and sale, the real estate purchase agreement is done, closed, and forever behind us. So we wanted the use agreement to work together on this property. We're very well aware of the fact of our obligation to the surrounding subdivision, that it be public, open, et cetera, and the purchaser is definitely willing to go along with it. So this use agreement may, in fact, be presented to you several times before the facility is in place and operating.
Under C,
Section
super stuck 3 times a year, I think they would greatly appreciate having that kind of relieved a little bit. And I was really excited to see that we could kind of use the north end of this for parking. Because as your kids get older, you actually work your way south in the parking or in the soccer field. So it's kind of at the right time, so I appreciate it.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cott?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tourillas?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, I'm back. Oh, no public safety. And I'm back on with the administration. So I'd like to introduce, or I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution providing for the submission to the electors of the United City of York Folk and the County of Illinois a referendum of whether the city should abolish the elected office of city clerk and the duties of the city clerk be assigned to the deputy clerk and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Comments or questions?
Just clarification, this is a binding referendum?
This would be a binding referendum.
Anybody else? Okay, roll call.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cott?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tourillas?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution providing for the submission to the electors of the United City of York Folk and of County, Illinois, a referendum of whether the city should abolish the elected office of city treasurer and the duties of the city treasurer be assigned to the finance director and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
So moved.
Comments or questions on this?
Yes. In 2012, I voted no on both of these. Because I was like, damn the man, I'm trying to hold him back. After understanding that the simple difference between appointments and elections is accountability, and that through elections you get people like me.
We love them.
Thank you. And then through appointments you get people like Rob. Now I wore my glasses just for this dude today, so you can see the difference between elected people and appointed people is that if I screw up, y'all can't do nothing. If he screws up, he's out on his butt. So from understanding the difference between those two ways to getting a position, makes me feel a little more comfortable about my own role. But it also makes me completely comfortable in kind of getting rid of it. Because the reason why this was so strange was that that one guy ran for office one and then shows up and goes, I quit, which I thought was pretty cool, but I didn't totally get it. So now that I totally get it, let's throw it out. Oh, and we also saved 10 grand. Go for the path. Head down.
We want to vote on the referendum. It's just on the referendum.
Totally.
Comments or questions? Any other comments or questions? We have a roll call.
Sure. Milchewski?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Cott?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tourillas?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution providing for the submission to the electors of the United City of York Folk, Kendall County, a referendum of whether the city should become a home rule municipality and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute. Comments or questions on this? Yes.
Yeah, obviously, Mr. Miller spoke in public comments about the home rule, and I just wanted to touch base on that. Anytime you say home rule, first thing everybody says is taxes. Taxes, that's what home rule is for. I think the staff did a nice job of laying out several different examples in the memo of different things we're able to do on the home rule. The proof really is in the pudding of our intent, I think. For the last 2 to 3 years, myself and several of our aldermen have been going to Springfield, and we've been lobbying the legislature to pass what we call Home Rule Light, which would allow communities such as ours to have home rule, but not the taxing authority. Because the taxing authority is not what we were looking for. We were looking for the other powers under home rule. And I don't think if taxing our intention, we would have been lobbying Springfield for the last 2 to 3 years with a home rule light. Unfortunately, Springfield being Springfield, our idea was, after many attempts, shut down by the legislature and
my intention, obviously, in the future, that if we were to do anything that would increase the tax burden on the taxpayers based on home rule, that we would then shift that burden to the community as a whole, not just the citizens of Yorkville. And it would be my intention to then lower property taxes by an equal amount. So if something were to be passed that raised $250,000 a year for the city, it would be my intention then to have the property taxes lowered by $250,000. So we would have the same tax. But instead of having the residents of Yorkville paying for that $250,000, we would have residents from all over the place that come into Yorkville and use our facilities and pay for their gas and their food and their everything else. So it's not my intention at least to raise taxes or anything on anybody, but I would like to have the flexibility and authority provided by the Home Rule Act regarding everything else besides the taxation. So I would ask the community to look at the memo, contact our the Alderman, speak to us as to what our intentions are, and give it a fair shake in November when it's on the ballot.
Anybody else?
Over the last couple of months, we've been talking about this water study where we kind of joined forces and created like a Voltron of clean water with Montgomery and Oswego. And the large thing, the big elephant in the room, was the amount of money it was going to cost and the fact that whatever we borrow, we have to pay back within 20 years, which didn't seem like that big of a deal. But when you look at, bless you, when you look at the amount of money you end up spending in such a short period of time for something that you're going to be using for 20 to 30 to 40 years, it didn't make much sense to kind of go out for that much money if you're going to be screwed with it pretty soon. So the number one item on the memo says you can incur debt beyond 20 years. I think that's a beautiful idea because I think looking at a uphill of $70 million trying to build a water treatment plant for a community that's actually about ready to blow up is actually something that we need to kind of move on relatively soon. So to keep on thinking that we have to pay that much money 20 years when actually we can pay that much money over 40 makes a hell of a lot more sense in my opinion. The other thing that we were routinely speaking with the people down in Springfield about were the landlord-tenant issues. I know that right before we went down this time, me and Todd had kind of gone back and forth about the mold issues and how there is no legislation on mold. So it kind of it's falling on the city's lap. Well, the city has nothing to fall on because it's we're not home rule, so we kind of have our hands tied. So in my meetings with a couple people down there, my question was, well, what authority can you get with Home Rule Light? And they kept on saying, Home Rule Light's going nowhere. If you're going to do anything with Home Rule, you have to actually go out to referendum and convince people that it's a good idea, even understand that people are afraid of the taxes issue. A lot of the people that I kind of deal with in Aurora that are landlords have a lot of the crime-free housing ordinances and stuff like that. Those are all really, really good ideas if you're home rule. So I'm looking forward in the big picture as to what types of tools that we can use to kind of protect the city and protect people that already live here. But also, there's if you look in here, it says that we can kind of skirt around the idea of unfunded mandates. So instead of having to do something and not getting reimbursed for it, we can figure something else out and possibly not have to completely abide by those exact rules, which is really cool when you're dealing with the state of Illinois. In case you didn't know that. So I'm actually pretty excited about having the full conversation, not just picking the three or four things that we had been talking to legislatures about. So I'm pretty excited about this idea.
Yeah, I think the same turned out to Springfield on with Simone, and was pretty right on about this. This will go in front. I think we need to do a good PR, explain ourselves when we go.
Commercial at 210 Beaver Street and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
We had summer solstice last weekend. If you came down, you knew it was awesome. If you weren't there, it was awesome. Parks and Rec kind of set the stage, got all the pretty much the entire area set up for us. Amazing job. If you don't know how awesome your Parks and Rec team is, I would definitely recommend hitting up any soccer game, any baseball tournament, any festival, and you will see not only those people there, But even on the days that they're not working, they come back and bring their families because this is where they hang out and this is where they throw parties. So I tried to get people to speak the new hashtag Swallow Yorkville, and it went over pretty well. Nobody from Parks and Rec would actually sign on to it, which I understand is probably a good idea politically. But I'm still going to say it all the time just to try to turn the face red. But amazing job. Thank you very much. And I look forward to the 4th of July.
Okay. Do we have any additional business? We have no executive session. Do we have any citizens' comments? I do not. But this letter, among quite a few of the other letters that have been posted on doors, unfortunately, I didn't get one, and Katie, the woman next door, didn't get one, and the other neighbors didn't get it. The ones that complained about the mold and obviously had their apartments inspected, well, we feel as if we're still staying there, that the owners or the landlords should still be communicating with the other ones who are still paying rent and still living there. But unfortunately, he's taken this very personally, and instead of looking at it as a business, this is a business, my tenants are sick, or my tenants have a problem with their apartment, he should be saying, what can I do to fix this? What can we do to compromise, come together, and work together? But unfortunately, it's more of like, what can I do to get you out of the apartment complex and shut you up? And that's not fair. I mean, we only did what we were supposed to do because we didn't get the answers we needed from Jim and Rita. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention, that there are several families who are being, you know, taken to court that are about to be evicted because they did speak up and they did say something. And that's why I'm here. I'm actually not feeling very well. I don't know if you can tell my face is getting better and better, but I'm actually not feeling well. But somebody had to come and actually take a stand with some of the other tenants that are there at City Center Apartments, and I just would really appreciate it. Right, if I send you a public emails, if you could just respond. I'm just very concerned about some of the other families, and I think you guys should probably take a look at that. That's all I have to say. Anybody else?
Last time there's lots and lots of documents, boxes and boxes that are having to be gone through. And I just want to make sure that Chief Hart has all the expertise that he needs to get to the bottom of this situation and do a thorough investigation. It's reported there's over $200,000 that's missing. It's probably closer to $250,000 from what I hear. What I'm also hearing is there's a severe lack of accountability by the board that was supposed to oversee. The executive director and the treasurer who were married to each other. And these eight board members happen to be four married couples, which raises some concerns for me. My wife and I were involved in Music Boosters of Yorkville, or Yorkville High School Music Boosters, or CUSD 115 Music Boosters, whatever you want to call it, for over 10 years. And we were responsible for handling in the neighborhood between $30,000 and $50,000 a year, depending on how much those kids raised. Not only that, but my wife was also responsible for keeping track of the kids' portion. If they sold something, and usually us boosters would kick in 25% of whatever they sold back to their account. So when they were of age, like every 2 years, that band and the music department takes a trip to like San Antonio or Disney World down in Florida. And they perform down there, and it's a week trip during like spring break. And those kids really banked that money. When we went into this, there wasn't that many people. There was three teachers, one other parent, and my wife and I. That was it. Now they have, you know, roughly 20-some people that show up at a monthly meeting. And we're no longer involved. But she was able to keep track of that. And one of the things that I requested when we became involved in that, and we're going to be responsible for handling money, and my family was that we would have two-party checks. I would not be a co-signer, and somebody else would have to co-sign with my wife. And I, many times, as the vice president, I was kind of like a utility man, there were many times I had to chase down somebody that was on the board, or it was an executive officer and had check signing capabilities, to have them sign a check, so that we would have some accountability. So, the donors of the food pantry have been very generous, and we care about the people in need in this. And that includes my family. And but if the food pantry is going to continue, there has to be not only the criminal part of this, if that's the case, addressed, but also why it was allowed to go on for so long. And it's unfathomable to me how being in a position like that as a volunteer, that, you know, somebody who is supposed to be responsible and have accountability and ask questions and look at the books, and that wasn't happening, and it was allowed to go on for years and years and years. And all I'm asking is just to make sure Chief Hart has all the resources he needs, and if he asks you for some additional funding for a forensic accountant or somebody like that to get bottom of this, to give him those resources, because the citizens of this county have many, many questions, and we have somebody who was what I think was a good person, but maybe not supervised, that took her own life, and or it appears that she took her own life. And it's very upsetting to a lot of citizens in this county and in this town that this was allowed to happen. So that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. The other thing that was, I said through the last meeting on your water treatment plan presentation with Montgomery and Oswego, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no intergovernmental agreement for boundaries with Joliet. Am I right about that? We have never been able to negotiate that. And the planning that you did, or the planning area that you outlined, was very, very generous to the south, all the way down to like Route 52. And I'm telling you, everybody says Joliet's going to stop at the river. We don't know if it's the Fox or the Mississippi. Okay? So what I'm trying to tell you is that before you do a lot of planning on this, is that maybe you might want to give a Joliet and see about how big of that chunk down south that they think they want to gobble up. get that done before you start making big plans for a $70 million water treatment facility, and you might end up not having that land area down there because Joliet beat you to the annexation. And it would be who, if you're going to do this long-term planning, is figure that out. And, ask them where they think they're going to be. Because right now, they're not in Grove Road and on Cape Park. And I know that you guys are about down to Cape Farm, too. But, it would be a lot easier planning than start hitting landowners against landowners to annex here and annex there, like what went through with Bristol Bay and all that 10 years, 15 years ago, when basically you had these annexation wars between Montgomery and Yorkville, and it was, every man for themselves. So if you're going to get involved in this long-term planning for water, I don't think that's a bad idea. But I do think that you might want to figure out what territory you want to plan for and not have any surprises. And that might also go for Oswego, too, because